Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I am going to start this week's podcast talking about last week's job numbers. Then I'll explain why the January stock market rally won't last very long at all, and it is absolutely not the start of a new bull market. However, I'll then explain why the time to aggressively short the market probably won't arrive until the May or June timeframe. So let's get started. There were supposedly over 500,000 jobs created last month. Meanwhile, Fed Chair Powell explained in his last press conference that the disinflationary process is firmly in place. You see, inflation is supposedly falling back gently to earth to 2%, like a fluffy snowflake, while the U.S. economy roars on ahead. Or at least that is what the deep state of Wall Street needs you to believe. The Labor Department's establishment survey says the U.S. created 517,000 net new jobs in January. But the household survey showed just 84,000 net new jobs were created. And the ADP employment report, you know, a service that actually collects data from actual payrolls, showed just 106,000 jobs were created in January. But there's more contradictory evidence. The ISM Manufacturing Survey's employment component showed labor expanding by just 50.6 on the diffusion index, which means it was barely above break-even. Meanwhile, the overall manufacturing sector of the economy is in sharp contraction. The January ISM service sector employment component came in flat at 50, meaning employment was neither expanding or contracting, implying zero net new jobs were created in January in the by far the largest sector of the economy. And since sectors like tech are experiencing massive layoffs nearly across the board, whatever anemic net new jobs they say that were created, they being the Labor Department, they are only of the part-time and menial variety for the most part. But back to that cushy landing that is hoped for by Wall Street. Let me explain why the U.S. economy is in the eye of a hurricane right now. We're in the eye. And the other outer eye wall is approaching as the storm is intensifying. Hence, I want to give you the following four reasons why the January rally will fail. The soft landing myth, which will have the Fed cutting rates by the end of this year in the context of a healthy economy, will be busted. That myth is going to be busted. I mean, that is a fiction without any basis in logic. The conditions necessary for a change to a looser monetary policy would not be extant given the current record low employment rate of 3.4% and growing GDP. We would need to see inflation plunge towards the 2% range, but that would likely only occur if the labor market was faltering and the earnings per share was cratering and GDP was contracting. To this point, about this rosy scenario that we see right now, supposedly, GDP increased at a 2.9% seasonally adjusted annual rate in the fourth quarter of last year. The unemployment rate, as I just mentioned, is down to a record low, 3.4%, while the rate of change of inflation slowed from 9.1% in June of last year to 6.5% by December. So it looks like, at least to the uninformed eye, that this soft landing might actually happen, but it's wrong. And hence, that there exists the current hope that inflation is going to come back to 2% while growth remains strong. I just said that. However, the road from 6% inflation to 2% or even 3% will be much more difficult given the stickiness of wage inflation, which is currently rising at a 5% year-over-year rate. And owners' equivalent rent will not be falling nearly as quickly as the goods sector inflation is falling. The reality is, the truth is that real GDP, not inflation GDP, not inflation-boosted baloney GDP, real GDP increased by just 0.8% for all of last year. And that is only if you believe CPI increased by only 6.5%, which we know it did not. So in truth, the economy is not at all as strong right now in real terms after you factor out inflation. But Powell is convinced, and all the powers that be at the Fed and the Treasury are convinced that GDP is strong. I'm going to have more to say on why this soft landing myth is going to pieces at the end of this podcast. The second reason for this January rally, it's not going to last more than a few months at most. China reopened a few months earlier than predicted, and that led to a flurry of enthusiasm about the communist nation pulling economic growth out of a ditch. And China did indeed, once upon a time, pull the global economy out of a crisis. And it was during the Great Recession in 2007 to 2009. It did this trick by increasing debt from 143% of GDP in 2006 to over 300% today. But in the process of taking on the greatest expansion of national debt in the history of the world, China created a massive misallocation of capital and a humongous fixed asset bubble. China's economy is now so unstable that it cannot undergo anything close to the same process that boosted global growth 14 years ago. The People's Bank of China injected the equivalent of $581 billion over the past 2 months in preparation of their reopening. Clearly, that pace of stimulus cannot continue without creating runaway inflation and a yuan crisis, let alone rescuing the global economy yet again. Most importantly, China can only reopen once. Therefore, the growth impulse will peter out over the course of the next few months. It could last for several more weeks or several more months, but that's it. The third reason of the four reasons. The Treasury Department is offsetting quantitative tightening by emptying the Treasury general account that it keeps at the Fed. The Treasury parks money at the Fed, credit at the Fed, sort of like banks park excess reserves. This money lays fallow and is out of the economy. It's just reserves parked at the Fed earning interest, but it is not circulating around the financial system or the global economy or in consumers' or corporations' hands. This money can be drawn on by the Treasury during times of emergencies, like now, due to the U.S. hitting the debt ceiling. Secretary Yellen cannot issue new debt. She can only roll over expiring debt. Therefore, she is tapping the TGA, Treasury General Account, which is adding new money into the economy. It's almost like a type of quantitative easing that is for now offsetting the Fed's QT program. But the TGA will be tapped out come June at the latest. So this boost to the money supply is very short-lived. And the final reason, tax law selling at the end of 2022 caused those erstwhile sellers to pile back in after the 30-day wash sale rule expired. And in particular, this was the beaten-down profitless tech sector that lost 70% of its value last year. Investors realized those losses in December, and they had to wait 30 days to lock in those write-offs. By the way, a stock down 70% needs to increase by 233% just to get back to even. So who cares if the stocks are up 30% in January? I digress. In any event, and that was for Kathy Wood, who thinks she's the new NASDAQ, that her ARK investing is the new NASDAQ. Relax. In any event, that caused a cascade of buy volume into this sector throughout the month of January. People want to get back in. They took their losses. They want to get back into the disruptive sector of profitless tech. But that rush back into losing bets is over and done now. Or very much, pretty much close, you know, if not completely done, 90% done. And these profitless tech investors, get to now witness their companies go out of business because they cannot afford to service new debt at the much higher interest rates that they have to roll their debt into. All of these reasons is why last week's short covering rally was one of the most significant on record. And while I was by no means outright bullish on the market, indeed, in truth, and my clients know this, I was still very cautious. But the IDEC model's output was to get less bearish, and that is what I did. We need to adhere to the process here and never invest according to some narrative, like someday something's going to happen. Who cares? I try to protect my clients' money all the time. In all markets, I can't say, well, you know, I should go short now and stay aggressively short because 3 months from now it won't matter. If my model says don't do that, I'm not going to do that. That's why I built it. So therefore, we cashed out of one of our shorts and added a couple of longs in the portfolio throughout Q4 of last year, including adding to gold and some utility stocks, a drug stock that, by the way, didn't work for us. In fact, I even sold another short position this week. The IDEX strategy is the same process that saved us from getting clobbered in last year's brutal bear market, where everything went down. Almost virtually everything got killed last year, including gold, bonds, stocks, commodities outside of energy. The only thing that worked last year was energy. This same process, this same model, will also alert us to when a genuine and sustainable bull market has begun. That's not now. So what's the setup for now? The bottom line is that the U.S. economy should be in a recession by the second half of 2023. It's going to be the second part of the recession because we already had the recession of the first half of 2022. And this flips upside down the wildly held belief that the first half of this year would be weak, but the second half would see a strong rebound in stocks and in GDP. To re-emphasize why the soft landing BS is a myth, China will be fully reopened in Q1, and they cannot reopen twice. The Treasury General Account at the Fed will need to be replenished, and that will exacerbate the $95 trillion per month quantitative tightening program at the Fed. It might even almost double it. Talk about QT on steroids. We will then be left to endure the lagged effects of the most coordinated global tightening of monetary policy in history that took place over the past year, which has yet to fully at all affect economic growth and earnings per share, but should absolutely do so by the end of the second quarter. The yield curve remains the most inverted since over 40 years, since 1980, which presages not just an ordinary recession, but one that is extremely trenchant. The cost of capital for zombie corporations and consumers has surged over the past year. This will cause massive layoffs for the 20% of listed companies that need to issue new debt just to pay interest on existing obligations. Despite the BS from the BLS, the reality of the labor market will begin to bite into economic growth. The plethora of hiring freezes and layoffs announced over the past couple of months will begin to greatly inhibit consumption. And the battered U.S. consumer, two-thirds of whom are living paycheck to paycheck and have less than $400 in savings, should begin to shut down their consumption. The economy will struggle through a Fed funds rate that is stuck above 5% for a long time. And consumers that are making ends meet by tapping revolving lines of credit will be very, very hurt. Most importantly, the great cascade of the base money supply and Fed credit should cause bank lending to begin to seize up and cause chaos in the credit markets. The coming recession will push the current mild decline in earnings per share into a significant plunge. Of course, this will eventually lead to a genuine Fed pivot where Powell tries to aggressively liquefy or re-liquefy the financial system. But this will come in response to an equity market crash and credit market freeze, not in preparation or ahead of one. Unfortunately, this means Powell will be pivoting before inflation has been dead and buried, which in turn means the next inflationary cycle will dwarf the previous 40-year, if not all-time high battle fought with inflation in 2022 and in the first part of 23. Alas, for those 60-40 buy and hold investors, these inflation deflation boom and bust cycles will grow more intense and more destructive over time. But those fortunate enough to have a robust macroeconomic model, it is just more opportunities to outperform the market.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.